Talks, we threw a question out there to all of our lovely listeners. We wanted to know if you consider yourself a mono shipper, a multi shipper, or something else. And we got some interesting replies.
We had 55 votes on the Twitter poll, which is, I think, a really exciting number because it's big enough that we can kind of get a vibe. And of those people, 60% said that they were a multi-shipper.
Wow.
30% said mono shipper and 9% said something else. So what is interesting to me is that I have a feeling based on some of the replies that are below that a couple multi-shipper, mono shipper, others all kind of combine in a way that I may not have expected. So, because for instance, one person, the other Dibbler, asked if a multi-shipper meant some like more than one pairing, but different people in each, or shipping the same characters in an assortment of pairings. So like, are you a mono shipper if you shipped both Stony and Clintasha in, but you never ever want those four people with anybody else?
Right.
Because they said, I have a whole fleet of ships, but I'm very dedicated to my OTPs and do not separate them.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, cool.
And then other people were like, I'm a bicycle shipper. Wonderland Girl said, I have favorite characters that I ship with various different characters at different times, depending on how I'm feeling and what rabbit holes I have fallen down. I just want them all to be happy, which is generally how I feel. Courtney B., who is at Storybook Colors, says, I'm a multi-shipper. Stony is my main ship, but honestly, I mostly ship Tony with happiness. So I've probably shipped him with the entire team at one point or another.
I think the X with happiness is a pretty popular, like, of the bicycle shippers, that seems to be the most common reasoning. Like, I will ship my person with anyone that I feel is right for them. And depending on the story, the context, the canon, whatever, especially with so many years and years of multiple canons for this, that can mean so many different things.
Yeah. And I think that is, especially in Marvel, something that a lot of people feel like we talked about in the earlier section, that the smaller number of characters in a canon, the less bicycle shippers you're going to get. Mm. But like with the longevity of Marvel, and I'm sure that this counts in DC for a little bit too. That's just not a universe I dip into when we talk about longevity of a fandom. But then New Type Shadow had a concept that I really like, which is the flagship mono ship. She says, I'm a mono shipper, but my ship is Stuckoni, and I like Steve, Tony, and Bucky in any combinations. So I have three ships and a flagship, and any of the ships fit on the flagship.
Okay.
And I also resonate with that. I love the three of them in any of their permutations. I have preferences over the other, but if I'm going to go with an OTP in a certain way, like I know I said Winter Iron earlier, but as long, I mean, like I also adore Stony to the core of my being. There's so many Stucky fics I love. I love writing all four combinations at different times in my life. So I think I would also be on the flagship mono ship. I don't really read other ships in Marvel or interact with them the way I do with those four ships.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that definitely, if we were going to be real scientific about this, there's a lot more breakdowns we could do than just mono and multi. And this alone has shown that that's very much the case. And, you know, each person is also, like, depending on the fandom or even the sub-fandom that they're in, can be multiple things. So I've been mono shippers. I was a mono shipper in Buffy, which is my first fandom. I only shipped Buffy. I didn't read or consume content for any other ship, and I wasn't interested in any other ship. And in Marvel, I'm a pretty extensive multi-shipper. And then there's some other fandoms that I don't consume the canon, and I'm only interested in the fic specifically because of a ship and the way that I've seen the ship interacted with. So like, I've never seen an episode of Teen Wolf. I have a vague idea what it's about, but I like the one, like the Derek Styles came across my dash just from exposure, probably because there was a lot of crossover with SPN. And I was like, oh, I like that vibe. So I've read a whole bunch of fic for that. And so do I consider myself a mono shipper for Teen Wolf? Because I don't really consider myself a shipper for Teen Wolf at all, because I'm not in the fandom, I wouldn't say. but I have been known to consume their content. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of different ways that we can break this down. And it's cool to see people talk about ones that I hadn't even thought of that you could engage in that way.
Yeah. And so that was on Twitter. And then when we switched to Discord, where I, you know, shared this poll in a bunch of different servers, the reaction was much more towards mono shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Except in our Tony Bucky server, which is innately a multi-ship server. So that doesn't surprise me. But the other ones that I was in, even if they encourage multi-shipping, like our server for the podcast, there was much more of a vibe of, my God, I can't imagine loving more than one thing. That sounds exhausting.
Oh, I like that.
That totally makes sense. But also Discord is so much more of a ship segregated space.
Yes. Yeah.
And than Twitter ever could possibly be. And so the difference there does not surprise me. Of course, we have several podcast guests who contributed to this, like Saber, who said, you know, there's absolutely no other ship but Stony. You all can pretend that there are other ones, but Stony is the only one. And she says that in love. And then, you know, some other guests chimed in with their opinions. Alex Jameson is a multi-shipper within Marvel, and but exclusively reads Steve and pretty much exclusively reads Bucky with Steve. And she'll read Steve with Tony occasionally when I tempt her to my works, but then she gets mad at me in the comments that I made her like a fic she doesn't even ship. And so it's kind of, I don't know. I just think Marvel is so big that we really probably should break it down farther than mono and multi, especially in light of these responses. It fascinates me. It really does. I love thinking about it. Like you were saying, like, that you're mono in some things and multi in others. I am 100% mono shipper in Veronica Mars.
Oh yeah.
I don't even want to hear, and I don't want to entertain the idea that Logan or Veronica could end up with anybody else, because they're both mutual disasters that fit each other perfectly.
Yeah. And I have next to no interest in any of the other characters. So there's not even a side ship I'm particularly interested in.
And in Gilmore Girls, Luke and Lorelai, I only want Lorelai with Luke, full stop, done, end of story. I pass Rory around to various of her boyfriends, depending on what mood I'm in.
So then I would say that makes you a multi-shipper, because you have more than one ship in the Gilmore Girls fandom, even if you don't ship around certain characters. But I like it's definitely a different way than the bicycle shipper, or even the like nebulous network shipper.
Yeah. It just all goes down. And I mean, I fall way more on what Wonderland Girl said, where it's like, it depends on what mood I'm in and what rabbit holes I'm falling down.
Right.
I mean, I've gone on the record that I don't like that when I first started in fandom, there was no way I was ever going to read an ABO fic. Thank you. No, that's a no. And now I write them probably more than anything else besides domestic fluff. I never thought I'd get into Lactation Kink. And then here we are. That's like the story of my fandom life, things I never thought I'd be into. And yet, please check my AO3 history. I never thought I'd be into dark fic, and I just wrote some. So it's all those kind of things that I chase at my moods, for sure. I'm a mood reader more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, I think that maybe we should make some graphs for the various kinds of shippers. There's an artist who wants to make cute graphs with us. You know, like
the web shipper, the bicycle shipper.
But I like that this conversation was really positive. People were happy to participate. I do think that the platform makes a huge difference, because I would say, like, since our pod is mostly a multi-shippy pod, even though I know there are mono shippers who listen to us, overall, we celebrate a lot of different ships. So I wouldn't be surprised that our responses would tend to veer towards multi, as it did, 60%. But even when we take our voice into specific ship servers, not all those people are going to listen to the pod. Maybe they don't listen to the pod because they don't like that it's multi-shippy, you know? And so that's going to be, you know, if you are a mono shipper, you're going to want to be in a mono shippy space, right? So it makes sense. We also had one fandom feelings to our little Anon Dropbox. And this person said, While I definitely have my favorites, I am absolutely a multi-shipper. This is especially easy in a fandom like Marvel that has so many characters to put into all different combinations and so many talented creators who write different ships. And yeah, I think that comes back to that. Like, if you've got years and years and years of comics, years and years of movies, 3 billion characters, it's sort of, you know, that's honey to a multi-shipping bear.
Yeah, there are characters that I think more than anything, what being a mod for Marvel Trumps Hate taught me is that I don't know Marvel at all.
It's so huge.
It's so huge because we would be in these conversations about different ships or codes or tags or everything. And I would just be on like Wiki being like, who is that? So yeah, it's wild and wide. I think the summary of our season one is things we thought would be the end of conversations that spawned 7.9 million other conversations. And this is certainly one. So as always, if this is kind of an exploration topic you'd like us to poke into more, or you would like to come on and talk about any of the gray areas that we just talked about, please make sure to get in touch.
Last week, we had the exciting announcement that we are starting up Trope Off for a second round. If you missed that conversation, you can go back and check it out. But basically, we have 25 tropes on the docket. They are going head to head in a series of challenges, basically that are just polls on Twitter. And it's double elimination. So if a trope loses 2 polls, they're out, and we will keep going until we crown a winner, the ultimate trope. So this past Trope Off, the last one that we had, we talked about it on our last episode, but it is now complete. And that was enemies to lovers versus Mpreg. And I wasn't super surprised by this one because I feel like I have seen contention on both of these, but I feel like fewer people are into Mpreg. I was correct. Enemies to lovers beat out Mpreg 75% to 25%. So who did you vote for? Flame.
I voted for Mpreg.
Oh, did you?
I mean, I knew it was going to lose because it's like enemies to lovers is one of the greatest tropes in literature. This is a thing that generally exists in fandom. And the Kindle Unlimited section of the internet. But enemies to lovers, I'm a lot pickier on, I think, on a certain level. Like you have to, I won't read just any enemies to lovers thing, because if you make them truly hateful to each other, I don't know.
It takes time to get there. Like if you're going to convince us they're enemies and then convince us all the way to lovers, that takes effort. That takes time. That's an investment.
It is. And I think like in canon, I mean, we're going to talk Steve and Tony, like that's their canonical arc. We make the argument. But I'm always more interested in alternate universe stuff. So usually when I'm thinking about these tropes, it's the tags that I would click on.
Yeah.
I to surf around.
Way. Yeah.
Is how I judge it. And I don't ever surf around enemies to lovers.
But you'd surf around Mpreg.
I do all the time. Actually, I have the tag for pregnant Tony Stark, pregnant Steve Rogers, and pregnant Bucky Barnes open in 3 separate tabs on my computer. And I just hit refresh every once in a while.
Lovely.
It just scratches this itch, man. I'm not in therapy at the moment. We probably shouldn't explore it outside of a therapeutic situation, but yeah, no, enemies to lovers is something I read a lot more by authors I explicitly trust than I would take a whirl with somebody new.
Oh, that's interesting. I think that I don't generally click on the tag enemies to lovers, but it's definitely a part of a lot of stories that I really enjoy. So it's almost like if your summary catches me, then I'm in for enemies to lovers, but it's not a tag I would surf just for the sake of the tag, because to me it's almost like it's a foundation upon which other stuff has to be there as well. Whereas, yeah, I've definitely gone looking for Mpreg, and it was something that I didn't like at all when I first got into slash fic in general. It took a while for me to be charmed over to Mpreg. I wasn't really interested in pregnancy stories of any kind, but maybe I'm broody, but yeah, I do like an Mpreg story. I like the idea of the sort of inherent vulnerability and the like care and protectiveness. And I like a lot of the ABO tropes that tend to go with pregnancy. So I do like an M-preg. But actually, I don't know who I would vote for in that one. Sometimes I'm grateful that I don't get to vote because then I don't have to pick. So, and speaking of people who don't have to pick, well, they do have to pick, but they choose not to pick. I always get some people who are enamored with the idea of the two tropes combined. And on this one, Fan didn't let us down. They had the amazing idea of enemies to lovers, where the enemies have a one night stand as enemies, and one of them becomes pregnant from that one night stand. And in the process of dealing with the pregnancy, they become actual lovers. And I love that. So there's a prompt for the bucket.
Totally. That's the plot of one of my favorite Australian romances, actually, is that they hooked up at a bar and it was a total hate fuck. A total hate fuck in a bathroom of all places. God love them and their hygiene. And then she gets pregnant and they have to figure out what they're going to do. And it is so much sniping. I think if enemies to lovers is full of banter that you can tell actually they don't hate each other, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely take enemies lightly as a concept. Like, you can stretch that pretty far. I've seen enemies to lovers being like, you know, they're secretly both in love with each other, so they snap at each other because they're afraid that if they're nice, they'll show their feelings. So you can stretch it. It's pretty stretchy.
Yeah, I also voted for M-preg because I wasn't sure if anybody else would, and I like an underdog sometimes, but I knew it was going to lose.
Yeah, well, that means M-preg's in the loser's bracket, but it doesn't mean it's out. They have other chances, so we'll see who M-preg is up against next, and that'll potentially decide their fate. But yeah, as always, I think the true winner is the tropes combined. Someday, I would really love for someone to do all 25 tropes together. Round one is finished, folks, so if you want to check out that list, you can squish all those together and you'll get a trope off gold star.
If somebody does that, we'll come up with a prize.
Oh yeah. Well, obviously you're going to need to be a guest on the pod and tell us exactly how you manage that feat of trope.
Maybe wrestling. They get to pick our topic for the episode.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to be attempting to do a trope off every weekend, and hopefully that makes it easier for people to predict as well and check in with. So you can just poke in on me during the weekend. Each one will be two full days. So if you check in on pod day or non-pod Sundays, then you should still be able to vote. This weekend, we are open already since it's Sunday. I posted yesterday, and we are doing Mafia/Mob AU versus Unrequited Feelings.
But I'm not allowed to say anything this time, am I? Or I have to wait till next episode?
Well, next episode, we'll talk about which one you voted for. But
okay, I remain mum. But anyone who's heard me talk will not be surprised to vote. or has read a single one of my fics.
Yeah. And again, you take it as those two things speak to you. If you saw those as tags, which one would you click if that's all you got? And or which one would you open a doc to create for or draw for? And you can tell me why. I love to know why. Love to know why. You can let me know in any of the Discord servers I'm in or in replies on Twitter. And additionally, let me know if you come up with an amazing prompt that involves the two tropes combined, because I would love to start a collection of those. So I really want to hear if you have any amazing ideas. So go to Twitter and vote for either Mafia Mob AU or vote for Unrequited Feelings. And next time we talk, we'll give you an update on how that went and how next weekend's trope off goes as well, and we'll find out which one's Flame voted for.
Hello, fandom. I'm Only More Love, back with your events forecast. Today, I'll be sharing some information about what's going on challenge-wise in a Marvel fandom near you. Here's the usual note before I begin with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast linked and explained in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. Now, let's move on to the fun stuff. Just a friendly reminder that the fourth round of the Marvel Fluff Bingo is open for signups until March 16th. So please go grab a card to write all the fluffy tropes and get-togethers. And please note, that the Marvel Holiday Fest, a prompt fest based on holiday movie plots, open to all ships and without minimum requirements, is still open for fills until January 31st. The Cap IAM.com Remix events are also ongoing, but you can still participate in Remix Madness. That's the Remix Fest, which goes on between January 10th and February 20th. Remix Madness has no minimum requirements and is open to all types of fan works. If you have questions on how remixing works, have a look at the detailed post on the Cap Ironman community. The Com also announced its 2021 Reverse Big Bang. The event is currently open for art submissions and will remain so until February 10th. Have fun, make art, and be awesome, friends. Did you know that you can get a customized STB, Steve, Tony, Bucky, bingo card until January 31st? After that date, you'll still be able to request a generic card from February 1st through May 31st. All combinations of Steve, Bucky, and Tony are allowed, so you get to play with no less than 4 ships in any medium you want, and without requirements other than responsible tagging. Have fun, and please join the server if you feel like chatting. The Shrunky Clunks Big Bang will be opening signups on January 16th, so keep an eye on their page on Tumblr or Twitter to participate. The minimum is 10K, and posting will begin in June. The Starker Festivals blog on Tumblr is back with another one of their low-pressure challenges. For the month of January, the mods have put out a 3x3 New Beginnings mini bingo card for the community to fill. Have fun! The Thor and Loki Kinky Valentine Exchange is open for signups until January 9th, with a deadline set for February 12th. And reveals on Valentine's Day. It's open to all Thor and Loki ships, so if you ship Thunder Shield, Thunder Iron, Frost Shield, Frost Iron, or a poly variation of those 4 guys, check it out. A Sam Wilson Prompt Fest has also been announced. To be sure not to miss the details and rules when they come out, be sure to give the blog a follow. That brings us to the end of your events forecast, friends. We hope to see you again next time. Until then, please be safe, and as always, happy shipping.
Well, that's it for episode 22. Thanks again to Sagana for our cover art and to Seth and Nikki for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you to everyone who voted in the first round of Trope Off 2. Don't forget to vote again this weekend.
Comment on this post or hit us up on any of our socials to get in touch. Thank you to the podcast staff for helping out and to all of you for listening and engaging. We really, really value your participation and how you make this a communal effort. So thank you again. We'll see you next time for episode 23. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.